podcast, and today we are going to be doing a review a little bit different. There are going to be no spoilers, or at least we're going to try and keep it as spoiler-free as we can, because we got to see this movie early, and we want you to see it too. Mission Impossible Fallout's what we're talking about today. And as always, I'm your host, Kate, and I'm here with Matt.
Hello.
And Adrian does not want to see this movie, so for right now, it's just the two of us.
Your mission. Should you choose to accept it? I wonder, did you ever choose not to? The end you always feared is coming. And the blood will be on your hands. The fallout of all your good intentions.
You had a terrible choice to make in Berlin. One life over millions. And now the world is at risk.
This is the CIA's mission. If he had held on to the plutonium, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
His team would be dead.
Yes, they would. That's the job.
So to start things off, like we do most of our reviews, initial thoughts on the movie. I guess like leading up to it, like were you excited for it? And then how did you feel leaving it?
So one, I saw the trailer, what, about 4 months ago? Was it during, I don't know if it was Black Panther we saw it, or one of the movies after Black Panther?
It was after Black Panther.
I could have sworn it was after Black Panther, but I don't remember exactly what movie it was.
I think it was Infinity War.
Was it Infinity War?
It might have been Infinity War.
I thought it was before Infinity War.
Mm-mm. No, it was not.
Are you sure about that?
I'm pretty sure. Do you want me to check the trailer date on YouTube?
Yes. 5 months ago.
Might have been during Black Panther.
See, I told you.
I don't know. That just seems like a long time for the trailer to be out for a movie.
No.
Okay, anyway. Continue on talking about the trailer.
So one, yeah, we saw the trailer and I was instantly hyped and I was like, I don't even want to go see the movie that we're about to watch. Can we just fast forward to this movie?
I really feel like that was Infinity War because they also showed the Ant-Man trailer and you were like, I don't care about Ant-Man right now. I just want this.
Well, which I would get to later is we saw it multiple times.
Oh, okay.
And that's been one of the things that I've seen a lot of people like online complain about. Like I've been kind of like glad this movie finally came out because it was played in almost every movie we saw since the very first time we went.
Ooh, and we've seen a lot of movies this year.
Well, that's why I said, like, you may not realize, but no, I'm pretty sure it was Black Panther was the first time we saw it. And then after that, we saw it in every single movie we went to.
Yeah. I will say this. I'll probably play this music underneath my talking because it's like really, really good. When I saw the trailer, I was hyped because of the lead-in they did with, like, an actual song. And mixing it with the Mission Impossible theme song was so damn good. And, like, the timing of the music to Henry Cavill's punches in the trailer, I was like, oh my god. And then, of course, Henry Cavill, like, I don't like Justice League or Man of Steel, but, like...
We know why he didn't shave
his... I like Henry Cavill.
By the end of this movie, we knew why he didn't shave that mustache back.
Yeah. I mean... I paused the trailer and I'm just looking at him right now. I'm like, this dude's a giant. A massive man.
Yes.
Okay. I'm gonna try not to, like, just talk about Henry Cavill this entire time, but, like, he looked so good on screen. Biggest butt around. Okay. Yeah, so that was my initial thoughts. Or that was what I thought leading up to the movie, and then when I walked out, I was like, well, okay. So just to, like, set the scene, we went to an Alamo Drafthouse screening, and because it was an advanced screening, what they did was at the end they played a behind-the-scenes look, so you could look at specifically about how all the stunts got done, and we'll talk about that later. So not only was I hyped when the movie ended, I was hyped when I walked out learning that Tom Cruise did all his own stunts, and it made the movie itself better, because I was like, oh, wow, that was all real. So I was super excited and I really liked it and I came home and wrote a review about it, like, right away.
So one, I knew all this beforehand. Two, if you're still worried, we'll probably talk about these stunts. All these stunts have been on YouTube for a few weeks, especially the main ones that we'll talk about that were in the trailer. So even the video we saw have already been up for a few weeks.
Yeah, I think the video we saw at the end had come out on the 16th of July. And in all honesty, like, these scenes... hearing about them doesn't do them justice, so even when we talk about the stunts, like, your butt needs to be in a theater chair and see that on the big screen and know that they did that without any green screen or CGI. So
Anyways, but no, when I walked out, I was like, this movie was awesome, and it definitely didn't let me down, because we've been hyped for a lot of movies, and I was excited for this. And not that our movies that we've seen this year have been bad, but this one, I was like, this one probably still fulfilled my expectation to more. I was like, I could definitely go walk in and watch this movie again.
Yeah.
Which, I think, besides maybe Deadpool, that was pretty much the only one that I really... I mean, Infinity War was great and all, but it just... I don't know.
I still think you would have felt that way about Black Panther had you not had only 2 hours of sleep and were really tired in that movie.
Yes.
But, yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about, like, my final thoughts, like, after. Yeah. Because I definitely rate this movie highly. So, yeah, let's go into, I guess...
Do you want to talk where it's rating right now?
Oh, yeah. Let's go ahead and give what the ratings are now. So, Mission Impossible Fallout is currently rated at 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is an average rating of an 8.4 out of 10, with 166 reviews in. And, like, if you've been tracking, like, I know a lot of people track ratings now for movies they want to go see. This thing, when it first came on there, came in with a 93%. It went up to 97. It was 97 yesterday. And now it's a 98%.
Yeah, it's only getting higher.
Yeah, it's not going down. And there are only 4 rotten reviews out of everything. And then, of course, on IMDb, which is usually pretty brutal with its rating system. Or, like, pretty fair.
It's
like,
weird.
It usually
I haven't figured
them.
It out.
It's weird. Anyway, it's at an 8.8 on IMDb and has an 86% Metacritic score.
The Metacritic score, to me, is actually more telling than the IMDb one.
Yeah.
Because Metacritic, to me, is the one that's usually always brutal. IMDb one, to me, is hard. Oh.
Well, Metascore is also only based on 49% of 49 reviews.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And well, it looks like it's only because one person gave it a 50.
Yeah, well... Whatever. Anyways, IMDb, I think, is weird because they have... I think Infinity War is actually rated really high compared to its Rotten Tomatoes scores. Mm-hmm. There's a few movies that are, like, completely inverse that's awkward, and then some of them actually are about the same, so it's hard to tell. But I do know getting a high score on IMDb is less likely than getting a high score on Rotten Tomatoes, basically, yeah. Especially the way they rate them. It's just saying whether it's a good film or not. Yeah.
Well, and I will also say this, too. Like, this is without audience interaction in it, just because at this moment, like, it's 6:55 Central Time right now, and this is about when the first showings of the movie is happening across the U.S. Nationwide. So,
well, that's why I was surprised, because obviously it's going to change over the weekend, we'll see, but the fact that there's so many reviews already in and it still has a high score, will go down some, probably, but the fact that we've got 166 already, that's a lot more than, like, a lot of movies even get.
Yeah. Also, like, these rotten reviews are 3 out of 5s, which I think is pretty interesting, too.
So, out of the 4 rotten reviews, 3 of them are 3 out of 5?
Yeah, and one of them's...
Doesn't that mean that's actually, like, certified if it's 3 out of 5?
I don't know. This is weird.
See, that's why people don't care for it, but I just...
Anyway,
like,
so I'm going to read one of them. This is from Keith Ulich from Slant Magazine. It misses no opportunity to prop up Cruise's indomitable earthly ego while his character runs, jumps, falls, fistfights, skydives, and clambers up a rope and cliff in service of what exactly? Being a good action movie, Keith.
We hate Tom Cruise, get that.
Being a good action
That's
movie.
Not the best one. This one's better.
Which one?
The film holds up as well as an action piece, but the intrigue dissolves when we step outside the theater and read about the clandestine way 12 Russian military intelligence officers were caught in the act of interfering in the 2016 elections.
What?
That is literally a certified fucking review on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't understand that.
I'm sorry that they didn't deal with real-world things in this summer blockbuster action movie, Ruben.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That. Anyway.
But also, this is also why, if you've ever listened to any reviews, we like to go to the rotten one, because sometimes they're funny, whether we like them or not.
This is true. I mean, and if you listen to my other podcast, Did You Have To?, we start off every episode with a bad rotten review. For Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, because some of them, like, I understand some people don't like the movie, and some of them try to be fair, but then you read, like, reviews where basically 12 Russian military intelligence officers were caught in the act of interfering in the 2016 election, and that's why this movie sucks.
Oh, no, I walked out of my theater and realized that our world is crap. That's essentially what that review is.
Pretty much.
Anyway, so let's move away from Rotten Tomatoes and that type of stuff, and I do want to make sure, that I know a lot of people for some reason haven't known about or haven't seen any of the Mission Impossible movies. And so there are people, because like I haven't seen negative about this movie, anything negative about this movie on Twitter, like at all. Even like some people who like usually usually always post like not necessarily negative, but really, really critical reviews. They've been positive. And so like, I think a lot of people are now asking, you know, do we need to see anything before we see this movie? And Matt, since you love this franchise, how about you tell them?
One, you definitely probably need to see, well, maybe not 100%, but it would definitely really help if you see Rogue Nation, which is the one that came out like 4 years ago. And also wouldn't hurt to see probably the third one.
Do you just really like the third one?
I do, but that whole, basically the whole last section of the movie probably.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Which you can probably edit out, but yeah.
Yeah.
But no, probably the third one and probably Rogue Nation. Rogue Nation more than the third one. And then you should probably just see Ghost Protocol because it's actually really good.
You just like Jeremy Renner.
Well, Jeremy Renner had a time and it passed.
Former Bay isn't getting the love he waited.
He waited at the altar for all the stuff and nobody ever showed up.
You showed up though.
Well, I don't do a lot of help.
Okay, so I guess let's just get into talking about the movie. Everything we're going to talk about is going to be pretty high level with the exception of the stunts. But character-wise, oh, I should probably give you the synopsis, right? Like, that's pretty important.
That'd be helpful.
So this movie is about, and this is just the regular, like, this is the Rotten Tomatoes movie info, so it's not spoilery. The best intentions often come back to haunt you. Mission Impossible Fallout finds Ethan Hunt and his IMF team, Impossible Missions Force team,
yes, along with,
along with some familiar allies in a race against time after a mission gone wrong. Henry Cavill, Angela Bassett, and Vanessa Kirby also joined the dynamic cast with filmmaker Christopher McQuarrie returning to the helm.
And for those of you not do not know who actually plays in here, basically, obviously, you have Tom Cruise, Simon Pegg returned, Ving Rhames returned. Ving Rhames returns, Rebecca Ferguson returns, and then and Sean Harris returns.
And Alec Baldwin.
And Alec Baldwin returns.
So for character names, Benji, Luther, I don't know Alec
Baldwin. Ethan Hunt. Alec Baldwin, I don't know. They always just call him Sir.
They do just always call him Sir. Anyway.
I couldn't even tell you what his name is.
Ilsa Faust Solomon Lane also return.
Yes.
And I would personally say I was kind of like, I don't know where any of this movie is going, but I enjoy this ride. And I personally feel that like the strongest piece of this movie, which this isn't the case for action movies, is that it is a great movie because of the characters and the script, which with most action movies you get now, it's like really just ridiculous action. And it's great because you go in to see things explode, but you don't have like amazing acting involved. And like I can say here that I walked out of that movie wanting Henry Cavill, who plays Agent Walker, to be in so many more movies because of the way he delivered those lines, and slightly more angry about Justice League because of how crappy they did him.
Which, by the way, if you've seen Justice League and you wondered with the whole mustache thing, he was filming this movie at the time. And if you go watch this movie, you understand why he said, yeah, I don't care about your other movie. I'm not ruining this movie.
He backed the right horse.
Yes. By a long shot.
So, yeah, I mean, the characters overall for me is some of the strongest pieces. Like, it does have a little bit of a convoluted, like, plot with them, just a tiny bit if you're not like really ingrained in like the lore, but I think the characters themselves, like I felt like I understood all of the characters, and the acting was so well done that I knew where they were.
So one, I do know like why I've like at least the last few of these, and even I guess four of them would be three, Protocol, Rogue Nation, and obviously this one, is it does go back to one, as much as they are action, it's not just dumb action really in this. There is a lot that actually goes involved in this story and script, and it's not just like stupid stuff. And they're actually, as much as there's explosions, there's really not that,
I think there were only like three explosions.
There's not that much. This is not Michael Bay, everything just blowing up.
However, Henry Cavill does throw somebody through a wall, and it is so good. However, you may think that this is stupid action because, oh my god, he threw somebody through a brick wall.
That wasn't a brick wall.
Oh, okay. Well, he threw
it
somebody
was plaster.
Okay, he threw somebody through a wall. That can't be real. Look at Henry Cavill. Look at that man long and hard and realize that he looks like he can physically throw you through any sort of wall.
And I guess the other thing, which I guess we'll wait till we get to the stunts before I bring that up. So we'll see where we go from there.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess just like, who is your favorite character?
My favorite character? My favorite character is always Benji. Benji will always be my favorite character.
He's adorable.
I love Benji since the third one when they introduced him. And he's only grown. In this movie, they even talk about how much he's grown. In every movie, they talk about how he's grown. And he's like their little child that they've been basically teaching him in all these movies.
And to counter that, I love how Luth just, like, he's the old dude who's, like, seen it all and is just like, yeah, this is, y'all need to calm down. Y'all need to calm down. I'm going to stay here and do this. Like.
I wish somebody would get Ving Rhames a suit that fits him.
I wish people would get all of the men in this movie a suit that fits them. Because he Tom Cruise was the only person with clothes that fit him in this movie.
Tom Cruise wanted to show off his body. And Tom Cruise always wants to show off his body. But I'm not going to lie. If you were that old, you would probably also want to show off your body.
He's what, 55?
He's either 55 or 65.
He's not 65.
I can't remember.
No, Tom Cruise is not 65.
You'll be surprised.
He's also only 5'7".
Oh, he's 56.
He's 56. Tom Cruise is 56. Oh, he just had a birthday. Happy birthday, Tom Cruise. Hey, his birthday's our anniversary.
Aww. Makes our anniversary even better.
Oh, gosh, no. I actually, if you've listened to our Mission Impossible episode, I hate Tom Cruise as a person because I think he's a dick. But after this movie, I'm like, I cannot, like, I can't throw any disrespect towards him in his action world because he was so good. He was really damn good. Also, I like how he's only 5'7". Henry Cavill is 6'1". And those are some major lifts that Tom Cruise was rocking.
I still find it funny that everybody gives him crap, Tom Cruise, for being so short, when Robert Downey Jr., I think, is like maybe an inch taller.
Oh, no. I give Robert Downey Jr. crap for being short. In fact, I want to know how Tom Cruise shoots to look taller, because I know in the MCU, Robert Downey Jr. character actually has to walk around a path that's a raised stage within a stage, so that way he can actually look taller and he can never be lined up out of suit with the other men of the MCU because he's so tiny. And Gwyneth Paltrow has to have her shoes off in almost all of the scenes. So I know how they do it for I know how they do it for Iron Man.
I don't think anybody's ever figured out how they do it for
I think it's just a well guarded secret as to how Tom Cruise like looks taller. Like, is he standing in a box in those scenes? Like, I mean, you do you. It was a good movie, but...
Don't know.
He's almost as tall as Henry Cavill in the movie.
Don't know. Well, there's a few shots you can tell that Henry Cavill is actually really taller than him.
But I also think it's also different with Henry Cavill's character, because Henry Cavill's character is meant to be a mountain.
Yes.
Like, every punch he throws, it looks like that person's getting concussed.
Which I think they do actually a really great job in the movie of, like, not being over dramatic with what they're doing, but it definitely fits to where you can, I guess, immerse in what they're doing.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that,
because like you're like, he threw him through a wall, and I'm like, yeah, it looks so like, oh wow, surreal, but it's like really just plaster, and there was a mirror.
I also think too, like, a lot of that has to come down to how like the actors like work into the stunts, in that like they actually, if they get hit by a car, they kind of stumble and don't run away full speed. They kind of hobble their way away. Or, like, they're a little out of it and knocked out for a while.
Yes.
Like, they actually do show the pain in the movie, which is, like, really good and something you don't get a lot from a lot of action franchises. And I think, too, like, so far as characters that we got introduced to, Henry Cavill, yes. But also Angela Bassett, I want her so much, because I loved her interactions with everybody. And, like, she just walked everywhere. Like, it did not matter who you were. It is her space. She is only allowing you to exist in it. And it was perfect.
So she's basically playing what Alec Baldwin was in, like, 3 movies ago.
Yes. And Alec Baldwin, like, looked like a little wilting flower in front of her. Because she was just... It was so good. She was so good. And it makes me really sad that she wasn't casted as Amanda Waller, in all honesty.
Yeah, she did a great job for what they have her do. Basically, the role that she plays is about what you get out of that role.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it was like right on the head, perfectly done. I'm looking forward to another Mission Impossible because I know he's going to make another one.
I mean, he's already stated until he physically can't do it, like as himself can't do all these stunts and all this everything else, he's just going to keep making them.
Yeah, because I want to see some of these new characters come back, and like specifically Angela Bassett. Like, I would love to see her kind of take on a lot of, like, I guess a more prominent, like, figurehead, because she's, like, the head of the CIA, and, like, maybe interact with them more and stuff like that.
You might get a little bit more, but I don't think you'll get much more.
Don't crush my dreams, Matt.
Just saying, because, well, because, I mean, it, like I said, just from Alec Baldwin's standpoint, like, Alec Baldwin, as much as he was always in the movie, he basically was pretty much...
I don't care,
it,
Matt.
He was there,
I don't
but...
care, Matt. I don't care about your logic right now. I want me some Angela Bassett. Yeah, I mean, I kind of don't know what else to say character-wise without giving stuff away, other than that every single character interaction was very well done and the chemistry felt real. Like, everybody on this set, and I know a lot of them have, like, it's a benefit that a lot of the people in this movie have been working together for so long, and also that the team is central to the focus of this movie.
Oh, yes.
And that's really, really, it's just really well done. Like, it isn't just Tom Cruise doing action hero stuff. It's Tom Cruise with people.
He does a lot of action hero stuff. Yes. But you definitely can tell he needs his team. And I think that's why at least, like, the last few have gotten better, because it's been more, like, it's moved more away from, like, this kind of solo type part to where it's definitely like a team, and they show how much their team are. You clearly tell everybody's role.
Yeah. So kind of like if you listen to our Mission Impossible episode, how Matt said how Mission Impossible originally was in the TV shows.
Yeah.
That, and they just have great actors that like really get to show off their stuff. I do want to see Ving Rhames like knock somebody out though.
That was back in 1996, in 2000, I think. You're not getting much more of that anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, like, ultimately, like the synopsis says, a mission goes wrong, and a mission goes wrong because Ethan Hunt has to make a choice, and the choice he makes, like, it really highlights the character dynamics, and just the trajectory of the story is just really well done from that point.
I think it's a really well done story, and I, like, enjoy it, because I don't think it... Like I said, I don't think you can come in here and turn your brain... You can turn your brain off, but I don't think you can necessarily turn your brain off, or you're going to get lost in what's going on. And that's what I enjoy about, like, basically this, and probably even the spy genre that's kind of gone away, per se, and it's more been straight, just dumb action, is there's a lot of decision-making, there's a lot of split decision-making that you don't get in a lot of other movies.
Yeah.
Like, and this one, I think, highlights it really well, and it don't seem like they're so far over the top. I know we'll probably talk about a little bit over the... in the stunt-wise, but I think at least 85-90% of the stuff is pretty damn well believable, if not more.
Oh, yeah. My only problem that they had is they introduced a new character called the White Widow, and please stop naming your bad or, I don't know, talented in the arts of killing female characters a widow.
Well,
like, just stop.
Well,
there
you know
are
why?
So many.
They can't call him a Primantis. Or
a Primantis. Why?
That's just not as sounds cool as a widow.
It doesn't sound as cool. But praying mantises look a lot cooler.
Than a black widow?
Yes, they look a lot cooler. They got scissor hands. Chop, chop.
They're green. They got little long ass necks
chop,
and
chop.
Likes and legs.
Chop, chop. And they devour their mates, and it's cool.
So do black widows.
I don't care. I think praying mantises look cooler than
they got the blacks, and then they had the nice little red hourglass on them.
I know. I've read the comics, Matt. Anyway, it just really bugs me. So we have Black Widow in Marvel, the Widow in Into the Badlands, you have the White Widow, you have Widowmaker in Overwatch. Like, just, can we just name them something else? Give them different names.
Find you another animal. Find you
another... No, it doesn't have to be an animal. Just be creative.
Everybody's named
a Valkyrie. A Valkyrie. A female warrior. A Valkyrie. That's better. See, look, I did it in a second.
Yeah, that doesn't look... She was definitely... As much as she could...
No, she wasn't. She was super tiny.
Yeah.
But she had ridiculous back muscles, which was really cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. You go watch the movie. She actually does...
If you're not
really...
as in good of shape as Tom Cruise at 56, you're not allowed to be in this movie.
Everybody in this movie is in ridiculous shape.
Except maybe Ving Rhames, but he's also...
And Simon Pegg. But their roles aren't to do a lot of the fighting.
Right. Well, Ving Rhames basically, at this point, just having fun there.
Oh, yeah.
Simon Pegg actually looks like...
And Alec
like
Baldwin. Alec Baldwin's not in shape.
Once again, Alec Baldwin...
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're, like... Everybody who is in a fighting role look like they've trained their entire life.
Well, Simon Pegg actually looks a lot different than what he does now than what he did, like, when he first took this role.
Yeah, he definitely does. And he has, like, when you watch Rogue Nation, he, like, states that he wants to make this transition into doing more of a field role. And you get to see that a lot in this movie, and you get to see him shine in that aspect. He's not an Ethan Hunt, but Benji's kind of capable.
He's capable. He's their little child.
Okay, that's enough of the characters because I really, really want to talk
about... Well, the only last thing I want to say about the characters is I'm so glad Simon Pegg, who basically plays in this movie and basically now they keep having him back on here, has enjoyed this, and plus, I guess, a few other projects he's done have really done well, and his buddy Nick Frost,
yeah,
who plays Into the Badlands.
Simon Pegg and Nick Frost are action star heroes.
Yes. That's what I said. They've gone from making Paul... and Hot Fuzz and Shaun the Dead.
Don't knock the Cornetto trilogy because at the world's end, Hot Fuzz and Shaun
of the
Dead.
Oh, they're amazing.
There are fighting in those
they
movies.
They are amazing, but they've actually turned into like actual action stars.
Yeah.
And what their main...
It's not action comedy. It's just action.
You're right. Well, yeah. But yes, anyways.
I think Nick Frost is better in the action department, but that's because Nick Frost was apparently a rugby player.
Well, yeah, Corin Augustus Sherman, he basically does everything in that movie. Sherman Augustus, my bad. Okay. According to Sherman Augustus, he basically does everything for what they asked for in Into the Badlands.
Yep. He hit somebody with a squid, and that's all I care about.
Also true.
Okay. Anyway, let's go to the stunts, because it's kind of like what I really want to talk about.
Right.
So, the stunts in this movie... are the most that have ever been in any Mission Impossible movie. Which, I'm gonna say it right now, like, all of these stunts were done practically. Yeah, with practical effects, essentially. They refused to do a green screen, and one of the stunt coordinators said, so, in typical Mission Impossible fashion, we flew and dropped Tom off of it. Because, like, that's how they do it, and... for me, like, it's really weird because as franchises go on, they get worse. Like, that's usually what happens. Like, yes. Sequentially, you get into 6 and you do bad. But this is, like, for me, is better than all the ones that I've seen before. And I think it's because, like, even though this is the 6th installment, it feels fresh. Like, it's not technically a new story. It's a sequel. But at the same time, like, given all the movies that we've seen before this moment where it is just so much heavy CGI, which is awesome, like, not knocking it, it's great. But this is just really, really different compared to a lot of the stuff that we're getting visually. And they were able to pull off the most action stunts out of any Mission Impossible movie without sacrificing visuals to bad CGI or, you know, sacrificing script for it either.
Right. Which I also don't think you realize or people realize is... like, this may be the 6th installment, but it's a 6th installment over, like, 22-plus years.
Yeah,
so these are once every, like, 4 to 6 years at this point versus, like, some of the sequels we get for a lot of other stuff. It's almost every year, every other, yeah. Every 2 years. So, you know, you got 3 movies in 6 years, whereas in 6 years you may not even have 2 Mission Impossibles.
Yeah, that's true. It keeps that fatigue away. Not right. That I believe in superhero fatigue, because that's a lie, but just, like...
I don't know if it's a lie, but I don't know.
I'm still going to show up to all those movies. I just think, like, the reason I don't think it's superhero fatigue, I think you can have it, like, if it's one franchise, like, one specific story happening
right.
Every year. I think that's different than, like, the superhero fatigue, which is, like, there are 20 superhero movies,
right.
But they're all different.
Right.
Versus, like, I'm going to watch 4 Iron Man. There's going to be 6 Iron Man movies a year apart from each other. I'm going to get tired of Iron Man, no matter how much I love Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
So, yeah, that's what I meant by that. But yeah, so, Matt, do you want to talk about the stunts?
I thought you were leading into that.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so the stunts, there are a few major ones, and all of these are in the trailer, and if not, they're on YouTube already. And like I said, you just need to watch them, like,
if you don't
want to
watch the movie,
action.
I think you should still at least watch this.
Yeah, it's so good. I'll include the clip in the show notes where they talk about all the background behind the stunts, because it's so good. So I want to start out with the fact that Tom Cruise is the only actor to ever do a halo jump.
And for those of you who don't know what a halo jump, basically it's a low, or basically it's a high altitude,
low opening.
Yeah, low opening. Basically, it's a very dangerous stunt of type of parachuting.
You're like in another level of the atmosphere.
Yes.
And you have to wear a mask with oxygen and stuff. So the suit that they show him in the movie is actually a fully functioning suit, because he jumped out the damn plane and somebody with a camera recorded him as he was jumping out.
Yes.
Like,
which I believe they do those, it's because of radar is why they do that. So the high altitude means you're above the radar for the plane. The low altitude opening means you're below the radar for, like, your parachute.
Yeah.
And obviously you're such a small speck in the atmosphere that you don't get shown up, like, when you're falling.
Yeah.
But it's also dangerous because essentially you have about a split second to open your chute, or pretty much you're going
to
die.
Yeah, you have to open it at the exact moment because you're opening it so close to the ground. Which is something that's really interesting because... if you look up like skydiving stuff, like the reasons people die skydiving is usually because they're orchestrating large, like, I don't know, like movements and designs in the air, because when they collide together, it's a big problem. So the fact that this movie, when they did the halo jump, there was an entire crew with Tom and, Henry when they jumped out, like that was their biggest concern. Like, this is really risky. Like, for, like, an actor to be like, nah, I'm gonna do it. I don't know if Henry did it, so I probably shouldn't have said his name. But Tom Cruise did it.
Well, as far as we know, Henry did not do this.
Okay, so Tom Cruise did it. Henry did it in a green screen.
Or they had somebody jump with for him.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I was actually thinking the entire time, I was like, I wonder if they're doing this in a wind tunnel. And then we watched that after thing, and they were like, nope, he halo jumped. Okay. So after the halo jump,
The only thing I will say about halo jumps, if you ever skydived, I've done twice, Kate's done it once. I think for the radar aspect, but the other part of this is you free fall for so long. And I don't know about you, for anybody that does it, free fall to me is the best, most adrenaline part.
I was terrified.
No, free falling is awesome.
I was terrified, but it was really fun. And I want to go, fucking skydiving again, because I do want to experience it without, like, crying into my goggles, because I've done it once now. I just kept thinking I was going to die. But I feel like, because we did that for our third anniversary, for our sixth anniversary, we have to save up money to go do a halo jump.
Oh, they're not going to let us halo jump. I don't think you understand how much that is.
Save up all the money.
Yeah. Anyways.
We're not going to buy a house this year. We're going to halo jump in 2 years.
Yeah. But free falling to me is, like, the most adrenaline part. I don't care once you pull the parachute. Nobody cares. So what you see in the movies where everybody, all that stuff happens when they're free falling and it all looks all crazy and everything else, and then when they pull the chute, they kind of pull back and everything, because the free fall when you actually skydive is the best part of the whole thing.
I would argue against that. But why? Because I cried during my free fall, and I just got to kind of sit in the air, and my person let me, like, guide myself, and then she took it away because I think I was doing it.
Because all the stuff went to your brain when you free falled. All your endorphins, adrenaline, everything.
We'll have to do it again so I can, like, experience it when I'm not just making, like, my pictures, because Matt paid for me to get pictures. It's just me crying. It's terrible. I have, like, two good ones. But anyway, let's move on to the next stunt.
Yes.
So the next scene is one that's highlighted in the trailer as well, and that is the motorcycle chase.
I don't think it's just highlighted in the trailer. Anybody that's ever watched a Mission Impossible movie knows there's going to be a motorcycle.
Yes.
Ethan Hunt likes motorcycles.
Tom Cruise likes motorcycles. That being said, again, in that thing that we watched in the behind the scenes for the stunts, they straight up could not film with the safety stuff that Tom Cruise was supposed to wear. And Tom Cruise said, well, we got to shoot it, and just took off on his motorcycle. And so in this stunt, and it's a really long scene, which I'll get into with some of my gripes, but it's a really long scene. He is driving the motorcycle against traffic for a really long time. He's, like, doing really sharp turns, like, it's insane. And he's doing it without a helmet. Like, he has no safety equipment with the exception of, like, the pads he wears under the clothes that they, like, give for motorcycle people, which is, like, a requirement. But, like, they had, like, a safety box for him to have. And he was like, nope. Doesn't make the scene look good. We just have to get this.
But the motorcycle stuff, he basically took off in oncoming traffic and went, like you said, and pretty much I don't think people realize that a lot of people don't actually do that.
And it was real oncoming traffic.
Yes.
Like, it was coordinated, but it was real. Like, Tom Cruise, if he had messed up, would have hit a car without a helmet on.
Yeah, so, I mean, they do coordinate it, but it's kind of like playing Frogger, per se. They can give you a pattern all you want. You still got to dodge everything.
Yeah. So, all that was real. I think, and this was, like, the only piece of CG that I noticed in the movie was when he gets hit by the car. So far as I know, he did actually hit the car, but they exaggerated how far he flew.
Right.
And, like, the body, like, as it turns on the ground, mm-hmm. it's CG. Because, like, obviously you can't roll on the ground without a helmet. However...
You can, but...
It's not advised.
It's not advised.
However, there is... Ilsa is also on a motorcycle during this scene. And she, or her stunt double, hits the car, flies over it, and that was all practical.
Yes, they actually hit somebody with a motorcycle, or with the car.
Yeah.
And which I don't think, like, seeing some of the stuff, like, people are like, oh, some of these are over the top. People get hit by cars and live.
You've been hit by a car.
I've been hit by a car. The guy drove off and left me there. I was already about 2 miles on my run, and I had another mile and a half, and basically I just took off with the giant thing and ran the rest of the way back home.
Yeah.
I lived. Then I got home and called all my family because I was like, I got hit by a car and nobody answered the phone. That was a very, very saddening moment knowing I just got hit by a car and nobody answered the phone.
Oh, my God.
But anyways, I've been hit by a car. People get hit by cars all the time. They show you can get hit by a car. You can do a lot of stuff with your body.
Yeah.
Especially for people like this who basically, we're basically been trained for, like, years and years and years.
And I also think, too, like, what I think you have to take into account, because they are stunts, is all of this stuff is coordinated. They're hitting the car at an exact spot because that's going to make this fall
happen. Well, I was talking about just being, well, for the stunt, it makes sense, obviously. They have to be able to live. But to say, like, oh, well, people get hit by the car and they die. Yeah, people do, but people get hit by cars a lot.
It also happens usually when they get run over by a car.
Yeah, that's what they don't think. Like, if you hit the top
when
part
I
of
was
your
at
car...
UT during Foam Sword Friday, a dude got hit by a bus, bounced off it, and survived with no injuries.
Yeah, like, I don't think people realize you can get hit by stuff the way you hit things. And so for people who are trained and know their body so well, you can get hit by cars all the time. You'll be fine. You'll take a lot of bruises, but, like, to say it's like, oh, it's impossible, it's over top, no way this is real. Like, no.
Yeah.
Totally plausible.
Plus, the cool thing to note, too, and this is why it's like, oh, it's not real. Well, when you're mapping out your practical effects and your stunts, you're making it so that it is doable for you to do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a stunt. It's a stunt. And I think the other thing that's really cool, too, and we can kind of, like, transition this into the next stunt, is that... when Tom Cruise takes that fall that you see in the trailer, Ethan Hunt doesn't jump up and start sprinting. Ethan Hunt grabs his knife and hobbles towards another area because he can't run full speed, which goes back to what I said earlier about them actually showing, like, the actors in pain when they take a hit.
Which, I guess, moving into pain, we can go with the other one, which basically ballooned this budget.
Yes. So the initial budget for Mission Impossible Fallout was $180 million, which is par for the course for Mission Impossible movies, which is not a lot of money given how much is getting put into blockbusters right now.
Also considering the fact that they fly to every scene around the country and do so much stuff.
They were in, where were they? They were in the Netherlands.
They went to New Zealand. They went to London.
Paris.
Like, they go everywhere. They don't just throw up a green screen and say, we're now in New Zealand, this part.
Which I think is also, like, the best thing about the, like, is one of the things that makes it real full, like, a full feeling in the movie. And, like, why it felt so different compared to a lot of stuff we've been getting is they're not acting on a giant green screen. They're acting in there. They're acting in the place.
Yeah, they're actually there.
It's real. They're feeling it. Like, they don't have a lot of control over it. And, like, that type of thing. And, like, if you've listened to the podcast before and this isn't your first episode, you know that I have a lot of problem. Like, I love practical effects. And, like, I hate it when people choose doing CG over practical when practical is, like, a choice that they have. Because I think that you miss a lot. And I think this movie gave me what I wanted from that. Specifically in the roof jump scene that you see at the end of the trailer where he jumps from a window, bounces off and pulls himself up. In that scene, Tom Cruise tried to soften his fall because it's pretty much a belly flop onto the side of a building.
So basically Tom Cruise did the actual stunt of, I have to jump across a building without killing myself, but I have to make sure I don't actually make it all the way, but hang on.
Yes. And so he put his foot out and the impact from him, from his body towards the building, actually bent his foot back and broke his, either, I think it broke his ankle.
It broke either your ankle
or the foot. It broke his ankle or the foot. It broke something. And essentially, this ballooned the budget to
250, I thought?
Yeah. Yeah, this actually ballooned the budget to $250 million.
Which also states about how much healthcare this country costs.
Yeah.
Not really, because it's basically paying all the actors to go on vacation.
Exactly. It has nothing to do with healthcare. It has to do with the fact that the movie itself was delayed for 8 weeks following this.
Yes.
So they had to pay everybody to extend everybody's contracts, all that stuff. But as much as it's going to make it harder for them to make their budget and make money on it, one, it doesn't matter because Tom Cruise makes these movies for Tom Cruise. And two, a lot of this money is going to be recouped through insurance because it happened on set.
Yes.
But yeah. And guess what happens? Tom Cruise breaks his foot. They only had that take. They put it in the movie because what does Tom Cruise? He goes, "Welp, gotta film the scene." Pulls himself up and hobbles his way across.
Which obviously leads to, basically everybody knows Tom Cruise runs in his movies, and so
there's so much Tom Cruise running in this movie.
I don't care.
If it was too much for me.
So there's three things about Tom Cruise running. One, he apparently still ran while still hurt, which you apparently do not notice at all.
No, he only ran immediately after he pulled himself up, not...
Well, I don't think... No, Dave, when they restart filming, he's not fully healed. He just wanted to get back to actually finishing the movie.
Yeah, so Tom Cruise did the rest of his stunts and all of his running on an ankle foot that was not completely healed from being broken in multiple places because of another stunt. But Tom Cruise just wanted to shoot the movie.
The funny thing about Tom Cruise running is, one, it's been a big thing. They've had it. I know about, like, 10, 15 years ago, there was a bunch of, like, either videos, and there was, like, theories coming out. I remember Bill Simmons wrote about it a ton, if you ever follow him.
There's a video that came out, like, yesterday.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
How much time Tom Cruise spent in this movie.
But I'm talking about a lot of this stuff has been going on since, like, 2000s. Like, the early 2000s, late 90s. And nobody ever knows whether Tom Cruise is fast or not. We've never figured out whether Tom Cruise can actually run.
He looks fast.
But I will say this. One, at least however Tom Cruise is telling his directors or whatever and producing the shots, he looks fast. And he's great at doing it. And two, he's got some pretty damn good form. Considering I had to watch The Flash look like he was, I don't know what he was doing.
He was speed skating.
Sure. Tom Cruise looks like he can actually run. And that's been the one thing that's fascinating. People don't ever know whether he's actually fast, but he runs and his form makes him look like he's fast.
I'm assuming they probably put him on a track. Because I know that they're doing that with, they've done that with a few other ones, but I know Gal Gadot on hers, they have her, because she's supposed to have super speed, or, like, not super speed, but she runs faster than your average human. They have her, essentially, a harness pulling her forward while she runs. And
yeah,
so
I don't
it
know.
Accentuates how fast she's running. But that's different than, like, Ethan Hunt's still a human and within human range of running.
Yeah, I mean, so. I don't know. Also know he ran across the rooftop, so.
Yes. Which, that scene is phenomenal. We won't tell you more about that because that, yeah, it's just great.
Anyways.
Yeah, and then, like, the next major one is a two-parter.
Yes.
A rope climb onto a helicopter, which he then commandeers.
Yes.
And so, essentially, Tom Cruise shimmies his way up a rope and then falls. And then, when he fell... The director was like, I heard somebody say into the radio, I think we just lost Tom. Because this is a moment where they're like, well, we can do this on a green screen and it'll be safe. And Tom Cruise is like, nah.
Won't get time for green screen.
Real.
People want to see real effects and real stuff.
Which he says in that stunt thing.
Well, he does. And that's why I've always liked a lot of these movies.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I prefer the
I mean, people give shit about all that stuff, and I'm like, really? I can go watch people do a bunch of green screen stuff, or I can watch somebody actually climb up. Which is weak to me, like, knowing and seeing all this, like, when people say with the dumb action movies, well, they're over the top and stuff. I'm like, well, maybe. But I actually watched him do it, and he actually he did it himself.
Yeah,
so
it's
this
hard to say it's over the top when it is somebody actually performing that thing and not relying on a green
screen.
This is
all fake. And like, really? He did it. I mean, did he probably have a safety harness or something? Sure,
yeah.
But he literally
did it. He climbed up a rope while a helicopter was flying through the sky.
And then he fell.
And they thought he died.
But he didn't.
And then he commandeers the helicopter and does like a 360 nosedive.
This is by far the most impressive thing that I've heard. Obviously, between the halo jumps and everything, which I was surprised that no other actor apparently has ever done that. But I'm actually not that surprised. But the fact that he literally flew the helicopter.
Yeah, he flew the helicopter. When he does the nosedive, that is an actual helicopter that Tom Cruise is flying.
Tom Cruise flew a helicopter. He did everything. He flew the damn helicopter. Literally, you could probably just cut out this entire episode and went, Tom Cruise hopped in a helicopter, and he did a bunch of crazy stunts and lived and flew the damn helicopter. And that should be all you need to know.
Yeah. I mean, like, I could honestly say, like, as somebody, like, learning all this information and actually watching these stunts executed on screen, like, I don't like Tom Cruise as a person. At all. I hate that he's a Scientologist. I hate that he's a dick.
I'd be a dick, too, if I could fly a helicopter.
But I have, like, watching this movie and knowing the amount of work that went into the stunt coordination and the fact that he did all the stunts himself, to me, I have a respect for him as an actor and an action, like, an action actor. Than I do with, like, any other action star just because of how much work has gone into it. And especially, like, he's 55. He's been doing this for years. And he's still popping out amazing scenes.
Well, I mean, put it this way. All I know is if I see a bunch of people who are considered action stars and all they do is green screen stuff and stunt doubles and everything else, and I'm 56 doing my own stunts, yeah, I'd be a dick to him, too.
Well, he's not a dick specifically to them. He's just a dick to whoever.
Well, like, I know, but I'm talking about, like, I would walk around like I'm an arrogant bastard.
At least you acknowledge that he's an arrogant bastard.
I don't care. If I could fly a helicopter and do halo jumps and did everything and look at somebody, oh, I did it on a green screen. Shut up. You can do anything.
That is true. I also love Michael Pena, so I can't give him shit for Scientology anymore because Michael Pena is a Scientologist.
Well, that was just a funny thing. Like, people try to do that and give him shit all the time, which is fair and fine. But the fact that people ignore the, like, if you go look up the list, how many actual people there are that are famous in there, I'm like, shut up, please. And then if you look up a bunch of other stuff on everybody, just boycott all movies. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But I think on the scale of terrible things that celebrities do, Tom Cruise is very, very at the bottom of that.
Also true.
Compared to what's been coming out and stuff like that. Anyway, so that's pretty much, do you have anything else? That's pretty much all I have for the stunt. Do you have anything else?
No, because I knew about all this before and I knew about this in the franchise. That basically Tom Cruise does all this stuff.
Well, like,
he rock climbed in this one again.
Like, I know that he does his stunts, but it's like, I guess the scale of these stunts were really big with a lot of risk, which is why he broke his foot.
Tom Cruise is an old guy that likes adrenaline and likes action and stuff, and so he just says, I want to go make a movie and I'm going to go jump out of buildings and airplanes.
So I'm assuming that you're going to be Tom Cruise when you're 56, minus Scientology.
Be like, if I could just go jump out of airplanes and off buildings and jumps, yeah, that'd be awesome. but I guess to me it's like way I like this stuff because we talk about these stunts, they are big over the top, but they don't seem to me stupidly over the top. I still think pretty much 85 to 90%, like even talking about looking at like even possibly even higher up to 95% of the stuff is very believable and happening.
Yeah.
And that can be done. It's not some stupid thing, and I'll bring it up again. Somebody breaking out of a cast by flexing is not possible. Somebody surviving a building falling on them or picking up some damn missile thing is not fucking possible. I watched somebody climb up a rope of a helicopter.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. And I also think, too, like, I do think that there are, like, I think it's a different market of person that this movie's going to. Because, like, I think that they're, like, ultimately when it comes down to it, like, you have, like, intense spy thrillers.
Which I think they versus, go back to pretty well in this movie.
Yeah, versus, like, I just want to go see stuff explode and turn my brain off. Like, those are, and, like, neither one is better than the other. Like,
oh, yes, they are. I'm sorry. No. I will not ever be a part of, we need to go watch dumb stuff.
You can say
up.
Personally, this is better for
I
me.
I just said I will never be a part of people who want to just go watch stuff blow up.
And that's fine. That's why we haven't seen Skyscraper, and I'm really sad
about
it.
I will never see Skyscraper. I don't care to see Skyscraper.
I want to see it, but because I enjoy those movies. Like, there are different audiences and different subgenres of action, and I think this one does a really good job of bringing us back to that, like, spy action stuff that we haven't seen in quite a while.
Yeah, because people got a short attention spans. They don't want to see anything. They just want to watch explosions.
I mean, Michael Bay made a career on it.
Yeah, he did.
I already had a Bumblebee movie. He looks adorable.
I don't care.
I don't know if it's Michael Bay, but he looks adorable.
I'm pretty sure I don't think that's Michael Bay doing that movie.
He looks adorable.
I could be wrong, but I don't think he is.
Bumblebee looks adorable.
Don't care. But anyways, I just know with what you can do with the human body, especially if you trained your human body and being that and watching all this stuff, I just don't see a lot of this stuff being well over the top.
I mean, I think it's over the top in the fact that it will only ever happen in an action movie. Over right. the top, because all action movies are over the top, so I think to say it's not over the top is not accurate, but I
okay,
think
when I say over the top, I'm talking about, like, I've seen movies where people do stuff that I'm like, this is literally physically impossible.
Okay. It's within a realm of possibility.
Yeah. I'm not talking about, like, oh, am I going to see people doing this stuff every day in my life or on the news? No.
So you're
but
not
But what
saying...
I'm talking about, like, is there's over the top to me is when I see something that I know is physically, by the laws okay. of physics, or by the human body, impossible.
Okay, because, like, for me, over the top just means really big action scenes. That's it.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, no.
So, like, it just is, like, just to classify it. Like, you're talking about it has to be with it. All of this is within the realm of possibility,
yes.
whereas what you're classifying as over the top is not.
Yeah, because to me, like, when you go see any type of action movie, superhero movie at this point or anything, we all know it's fake and it's not happening in your everyday life. What I'm looking at, most of this part, is if anything were to ever happen, can this possibly... physically be possible to do.
Yeah. I want to see Chris Evans and Henry Cavill wrestle.
Like I said, like, that. Obviously the superhero ones are a little different
realm,
because we have
be
this.
That would be within the realm of possibilities.
Gosh. But no, a lot of the other ones, like, no, it's like, oh, he did this. Like, no, that's not physically possible. It's impossible.
Because they're superheroes.
No, I'm talking about even a lot of the action movies that are, like, a lot of the dumb action movies that come,
like The Expendables?
Oh, those are terrible. Those are awful. Awful.
Anyway, let's wrap up.
Yes.
What was your best moment of the movie?
Best moment? Well, considering we're trying to keep this a spoiler-free moment movie.
Okay, yeah, so best spoiler-free moment of the movie.
Honestly, just knowing that Tom Cruise flew a damn helicopter. I don't have to know anything else.
Mine is anytime Henry Cavill is fighting and they give me, you get to see how thick he is. He's a nice butt. That and they were just really well choreographed fight scenes.
They're actually really well.
They were extremely well choreographed fight scenes, and the fight style that, Henry Cavill has compared to Ethan Hunt and even, Ilsa is very different. Like, they all have different fight styles, so when they're in a scene together, mm-hmm. you can see those differences, and it's really fun to see. So, like, the fight choreography in this movie is really good. I really love the way Henry Cavill fought, but he's also hot, so that helps. So this may be a biased judgment.
We'll say probably my favorite part of the movie is what we got back to, I guess, is the improvisation that all the characters end up doing, improvising.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of movies with the dumbed down stuff, you lose that stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. Worst, or I guess any complaints you have.
The only complaint I have is there are a few
things.
There wasn't
enough Tom Cruise.
No. There are plenty of Tom Cruise.
More running.
I don't get bothered about the running. I don't care. There were a few things that were kind of like a little overdramatic. That I was like, oh, come on.
I actually think Tom Cruise's acting was the worst out of everybody.
You know what? This is Tom Cruise's baby, and he lets you know with some of those overdramatic scenes that this is Tom Cruise's baby.
Yeah. He was the worst actor out of everybody, though. I will just say that.
Clearly. I guess depending on what we're talking about. I think he has by far some of the, like, weirdest line deliveries, but I think there's still plenty of stuff you can tell he's still an A-list actor.
Well, I'm just saying, like, overall, just from, like, the script deliveries, like, he doesn't, because he has, like, an emotional scene, and I did not feel that, whereas Ving Rhames has an emotional scene, and I'm like, you're killing me, Ving Rhames! So, yeah.
Yeah. I can go with that. Yeah. I think there's still a few moments like that Tom Cruise definitely shows, like, how well he's an actor. But he definitely has, like, the
I think he just is better when he's angry.
Yeah, like I said, the angry stuff and some of the stuff when you see what he thinks, he does very well. The stuff that looks like it's definitely, like, on the fly, he does amazingly.
But the emotion is
But the stuff when all of a sudden we have to slow it down for a second, you can tell, like, oh, come on.
So he's an action star.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of stuff like, oh, this is actually really well done. And then there's another few parts. Like, time-wise, there's a few things, like...
Is that how this movie was 2 hours and
no,
30 minutes?
No, not how long the movie was. within the movie of taking place, some of the time stuff is weird.
Oh, like the pacing?
Basically, as in a lot of the movies that we have, that basically this is not the only one. I have a complaint about this in a lot of movies. It is basically there's a certain task within a certain amount of time, and it doesn't add up to everything that happens.
They shove a lot in that small amount of time.
Yeah. They do decently, but they're definitely, you can tell, like, this didn't take that long. But no, to be fair, that's in a lot of movies, and I've complained about that in a lot of movies.
Yeah. Mine is a timing issue, but it's more for the fact that I think this movie was too long. Like, 2 hours and 30 minutes. It was a great action-packed thing, and I wasn't necessarily bored, except for the fact that there are some of these action scenes, not necessarily stunts, but just action scenes, where it just goes on too long. And so, like, there's the car chase. I think the motorcycle chase goes on too long as well. I think the running goes on too long. Like, there are just some pieces, because it's highlighted because there's no talking. There's nothing else happening other than just that one thing. And I get a little bored. Now, the music behind it is great, because it is accented by a phenomenal score. But at the same time, I wanted those scenes to end, like, 10 to, like, depending on them, like, about 10 to maybe 20, 25 seconds faster.
I enjoyed the music, and I thought the score was amazing, so it doesn't bother me. And I actually enjoy, like, a lot of the stuff they do with this movie, and especially they do a lot in spy movies, which they go back to is...
silently walking around places.
Yes, the and silence...
and staring at each other.
The silence and the maneuvering and just having the music play, I enjoy the most. I don't need somebody... I do not need somebody talking in every scene for it to be a good scene.
No. So I have a problem with how they did it, though. Like... The car chase could have been long. It just went on too long.
I mean, that's
fair.
And
then, the specific, I guess, like, maneuver you're talking about, they're not talking, but they're, like, eye-fucking each other from across the room. And I'm just like...
You have to do that. That's the way it works.
I don't care. That's the way it works. Too long. Because there's so much stuff, too long. Just too long.
That's how it works.
Too much random walking. Too much, like, too long running scenes, like... Because, like, the running scene was great when Benji was talking through it, but then that entire last end, like, there's a chunk where it doesn't happen.
But it doesn't bother me because the music basically takes over where thing, and I guess I enjoy the music. And the music.
That's great, but it bothers me.
That's fine.
And this is my complaint. And this is why I can't give this movie a perfect score.
That's fine.
The music is really good, though.
The music does a great job of immersing. I think the fact that there is no green screen and they are on set, and the fact that they, with the music that does go in, you could probably literally just have outage footage of the entire movie the whole time and I'd be fine. Oh, I could watch it, and I watch an hour of just different footage with just that music playing, I'd be okay.
You're weird.
Why?
I wouldn't do that.
It's just nature. What's the difference between going on a hike? That's all
nature.
It is.
It's nature with Tom Cruise running.
What are you doing? Walking?
Yes. Anyway, let's wrap this up. Yeah. Should people go see this?
Absolutely. I'm not going to tell you not to. I think you should. Considering some of the other movies people go see, absolutely.
Yep, I think you should definitely go see this. I think ultimately it's probably shot to like one of my favorite action movies of all time, in all honesty.
I love this movie. This probably is my favorite movie of the year. I would rewatch this movie more than pretty much anything else we got out. Right.
Justice League?
Well, obviously. No, I would definitely rewatch this movie over pretty much anything that we've seen this year.
Cool. I wouldn't, but cool.
I don't care.
I would still watch it 10 times. But, like, if you gave me one of the movies we got this year and this one, I would probably choose the other one to rewatch.
So, how many would you choose over then?
Black Panther and Deadpool.
Deadpool would be
but
up there.
But Deadpool more so. Like, it would be...
I'd say Deadpool would be pretty close up there with me, but...
However, I have heard that Black Panther watching at home is not as good as watching in the theater.
I've also heard that, too.
Which kind of worries me. Actually, no. I would watch Deadpool, Ant-Man and the Wasp, and Black Panther multiple times.
As far as what they do and everything, the sets of, like, thing, this movie blows Ant-Man and the Wasp out of the water.
No.
Yes.
No. No, Matt. Blasphemer. Okay. I rate it at a 4.5 sprinting Tom Cruise's out of 5.
So he only has like 0.5 steps? Is that because he has a broken ankle?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to rate it I guess we're doing a scale of 5, I guess.
Yeah, scale of 5.
Okay, then I'll go also. I'm going to go 4.7 helicopter dives out of 5. You flew a fucking helicopter.
Okay, anyway, you can find us.
Name me another action star that's flown a helicopter.
There has to be one.
The Rock ain't flying no helicopter.
Oh my god, Matt, stop trying to start fights. anyway. Yeah, so if you watch this movie, let us know. Let us know what you think about it. Go ahead and tweet at us at ButWhyThePC. And if you want some more background on Mission Impossible, its history, and why it still matters today, go ahead and check out our last episode, episode 70, where we talk all about Mission Impossible and its, like, almost 60-year run in pop culture. As always, you can find me at OMMythRandier on Twitter. Matt?
Me and Tom Cruise are commandeering a helicopter.
Oh, we're out of here. Oh, my God, Matt. This is my life, people.